It's good to be with you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak in this gospel meeting. I was blessed to preach full-time for 18 years and have recently moved to Shelbyville. And some of you may know where I live, 121 Hinesville Road. A preacher that you had in the past, got that house from him, and we're thankful to be in this area. I haven't held a lot of gospel meetings through the years, but this may be the first one where I live closer than some of the members to the building. So I ask you to take your copy of the biblical text and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, I want us to look at this chapter. It's a short chapter, just 13 verses. But I think it says a lot about David and his kindness, and is really a foreshadowing of the kindness that God has shown us to be able to be called his children. When you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, David asks, in essence, what can I do for God? And he proposed to build a temple for the Lord. And now in 2 Samuel chapter 9, in essence, he is asking, what can I do for others? And 2 Samuel chapter 9 opens with an astonishing statement by David. In verse 1, if you see, David says, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? This is a very unusual statement for a couple of reasons. First of all, because Saul had made himself an enemy of David. Secondly, because typically a new king would wipe out the previous dynasty in order to remove any rivals to his throne. But rather than doing this, David wants to show him kindness. David is going against the principle of revenge. David is going against the principle of self-preservation. Saul has died, and we see that David wants to show someone of his household kindness. Now, why would he do this? I believe the key is in the word kindness there. It is from the Hebrew that means the Hebrew word hesed that means a covenant, faithful love. And I think David is recalling a covenant that he made with Jonathan and with Saul earlier in what we read in the text. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 beginning, it says, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever? No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again calls David to bow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. David was being faithful to his word. Perhaps this is one of the reasons that David is referred to as a man after God's own heart, because we know no one is faithful like God is faithful. God, his faithfulness is great. And David, we see, is wanting to show kindness, and as we read on, the kindness of God. Look at verse 2 of our text, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. It seems as though David could only learn of a descendant of Saul that might still be living from a former servant of Saul named Ziba. This shows me that Mephibosheth, and that's who they're talking about, we'll see that later in the text, this one that is lame in his feet, Mephibosheth, is probably in hiding because of fear of being killed by the new king. David desires to show the kindness of God. He has experienced the kindness of God in his life, and he wants to show it to someone else. Now, we first learn of Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4. In 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4, it reveals that this son of Jonathan, who Jonathan is the son of Saul, the previous king, he became lame from an accident that occurred when he was 5 years old. I don't know exactly how old he is at this time, Mephibosheth, but you'll see in verse 13 that he has a son named Micah. So when word came to Jonathan's house that Jonathan and Saul had died, Mephibosheth's nurse gathered the boy in haste, probably fearing for their life. And during this time of haste, we see that there was an accident. The boy fell, and he became lame in both of his feet. Look there in our text in 2 Samuel 9, verses 4 and 5. So the king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba has told David there is a descendant that still lives. He's lame in his feet. And David now says, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." And then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. I think this speaks of Mephibosheth's low station in life. A descendant of a king, not living in a palace. In fact, he doesn't even have his own house. He lived in the house of another man. And he's handicapped. He's crippled. He's lame. You know, can you imagine? He's been this way since he was 5 years old. And sometimes kids can be so cruel to other kids, calling them names. He's probably been called all kinds of names, being crippled on his feet. Probably believes he's worthless, of no use. And he was dependent upon others to survive. In verse 5, can you imagine how terrified that he must have been to be summoned before the king of Israel? That knock at the door would have brought so much fear into Mephibosheth. He must have been thinking, this is it. This is going to be the end of my life. This is the way that it's going to end. The new king is going to have me killed, have me done away with. But look at verses 6 and 7. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Notice the humility he shows in presenting himself before the king. It says in verse 8 that he bowed himself. He said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" It reminds me of something that was written by, inspiration by, the king that Mephibosheth is talking to. In Psalm 8, in verse 4, David wrote, "What is man," speaking of God, "that you, God, are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should visit him?" That's the kind of humility that we need to have before our God. And he is the center. As Jeff said in class, he is the hub. His word, God, is what it's all about. My name, I understand, is on the sign out front. I haven't seen it yet, but I understand my name's up. But I tell you what, there's a much, much, much more important name than my name on that sign out there. Christ. The name of Christ. It is all about God. It is not about us. And we need to be humble before our God. It is said several times in the New Testament, quoting from the Old Testament, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you're like me, you need grace. And I think 2 Samuel chapter 9 is all about grace. Now, you will not find the word, probably in your translation, grace in that chapter. But it's all about grace. It is all about God's grace. David is showing the kindness of God to someone that is undeserving. David establishes provisions for Mephibosheth's servants. But Mephibosheth, he would live in Jerusalem. He no longer had to live in hiding. And David said he will always eat at the king's table. He will be like a son to me. Isn't that the kindness that God has shown to us? Isn't that the grace that God has given to us? We're so undeserving. We're so unworthy. David is saying he's going to eat at the king's table. That's a special place. David, being king, he knew about being a host. You know, when I think about the 23rd Psalm, the first thing that comes to my mind is probably what comes to your mind. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew about being a shepherd. And he describes the Lord as his shepherd, our shepherd, and what that means. But in the latter part of that short psalm, Psalm 23, he talks about God being the great host of heaven. And David, as a king, knew something about being a host and having a banquet. And he describes of what God will do for us if we allow the Lord to be our shepherd in this life. He will prepare a table for us in the presence of his enemies. He will anoint our head with oil. He will allow us to be in his kingdom, to be his children, to be in the Father's house forever. David knew what he was talking about because a king was expected to have banquets. Can you imagine that in Jerusalem, David has a banquet at this time? And the important people of the kingdom are there, the dignitaries. And they're at their tables, and they feel very special because they're there. And in walks someone that cannot even really walk. They're hobbling in. And can you imagine that they start talking among themselves? Who is this? What is this person doing here? Isn't that one of Saul's descendants? Who does he think he is? This cripple coming into such a banquet as this. And I just picture King David saying, "Everyone stand up. Behold, my son. I want you to put yourself in Mephibosheth's shoes." We, spiritually speaking, are lame on our feet. We cannot stand on our own two feet, spiritually speaking. We cannot save ourselves. We're dependent upon God for that. But God will allow us, who deserve death because of our sins, but he wants to save us, and he will do that if we're obedient to his will. We need to have the appreciation that I'm sure Mephibosheth had for being shown this kindness by King David. I believe he felt undeserving. He said, "Who? I'm just a dead dog." David says, "You're my son, and I'm going to provide for you." That's the opportunity that God gives us. Now, I ask you this morning, what would you think if 2 Samuel chapter 13 ends with Mephibosheth turning down that offer. Oh, King David, I appreciate it, but you know, I've got it pretty good back there where I'm at, where we've been hiding, and I appreciate it, but I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to sit at your table. People would have really thought he had a lame brain then, wouldn't they? Who is to turn down such an opportunity as that? But let me tell you something that people turn down. It's a much better invitation than that, and that is the invitation to be a child of God and to one day sit down at his table. Because in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus writing to the church at Laodicea, it tells us that he speaks of those that are zealous and repent of their lukewarmness and overcome in this life and are faithful to him. It says in Revelation 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Having eternal fellowship at the table of our King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why would anybody in their right mind turn that invitation down? Why? On the day of Pentecost, the first one following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2, and Jesus has ascended, we see in Acts 1, after spending 40 days on this earth after his resurrection, 40 days appearing to people before his ascension. And in Acts chapter 2, as it opens, we see the Holy Spirit comes from on high upon the apostles who are gathered together. And the gospel begins to be preached on the day of Pentecost when devout Jews from all over the world were there. And people can understand in their own tongue what the apostles were teaching. And it speaks of how this was prophesied and how this is being fulfilled right before their very eyes. And that Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you have killed. At least 3,000, we see, were cut to the heart. And when they were told what they needed to do to be a citizen of this kingdom that was being established on this earth, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift, it's a gift, of the Holy Spirit, that they gladly received that word, and that day about 3,000 were baptized, and the Lord added them to his kingdom. But that was not the majority of people that were gathered there in Jerusalem for Pentecost. The majority of people, like today, turned down that invitation. Why? The greatest invitation that I know of in Scripture is at the end of Matthew chapter 11. And sometimes when I've been asked to extend the invitation in a Wednesday night service, I go to the end of Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus said, "Come to me." Come to me, he says. Come to me, capital M. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Are you worn out today? I know some of you have been cooking and others have been doing stuff to get ready for this. Maybe you're already tired. But working for the Lord is the greatest work that you can do, and it's the greatest cause there will ever be. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you," he says, "shall find rest for your souls. Take my yoke." He says, it's easy and it's light. You think about the old covenant. You think about those that lived under the old covenant. Those there on the day of Pentecost saying that those animal sacrifices that they had to make time and time again are no longer necessary because the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished what it never would. How that must have sounded to them. He said, my burden is light. But we are to give ourselves to him. But we can be citizens of his kingdom. He wants to show us the kindness. I can picture him as the King David in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You know, is there anyone? I'm looking for you, Jesus says. Come to me. I want to treat you like a brother. I want you to be a child of God. Don't turn that invitation down. The price has been paid so that you can be a part of that kingdom. But God is not going to force it on you. You must submit to him in humility. Think about that offer that's been extended to you. And if you need to respond, come to Jesus while together we stand and sing.